Welcome to the Tiny Morbid Fantasies podcast with your hosts, Andrea and Sophia.
This is a podcast of short stories based on our everyday tiny morbid thoughts.
Thanks for joining us for episode 9.
If it's your first time, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back.
Tiny Morbid Fantasies is now available on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. So what are we talking about today?
I have a story for you. So this story I began writing when we had initially talked about maybe co-writing a story, and then we never followed through on that, and then I liked it so much that I kind of stole it for myself.
That's fair.
Because, we didn't really explore it enough, and I wanted to finish this. And tiny morbid fact, it's based on an apartment complex where my friend used to live.
Oh, I like it.
Yes, a lot of what happens is...
Is it a true story, or is it just...
No, the
based on a true story?
The setting is based on a true building and some things that we had to work around to get to the roof. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
Okay.
So this, all right. Yeah, the setting is real. Okay. It's a real place.
Got it. Real setting, but not a true story.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
All right, so are you... we haven't done positivity today, and it's only because it's muggy and gross out in New Jersey today, and it's
we're not drinking tea.
Yeah, hot tea was not appealing, and I didn't have enough time to make iced tea, so,
I just thought about iced tea.
I know.
Okay, next time.
We'll think it through next
not
time.
Not the wrapper, like actual iced tea. next time.
All right, next time. So, I've titled this one Art Deco. It had been years since Joe last stepped onto the grounds of his old apartment building. The building was large and built in Art Deco style with 20 floors. The exterior was adorned with balcony cutouts near the topmost penthouse floors. The grandiosity of the style is what drew the new tenants to move in. The average lease was usually 1 year, with most choosing to terminate early. This was a fairly new trend with the building, starting just about 10 years ago. The building was on the edge of the city. The surrounding blocks were made up primarily of Victorian-style row houses, leading your focus directly toward the tallest building in the vicinity. Within the 10-block range of the building, it was hard not to be awed at its vast size. Joe found himself back in his old apartment building by invitation to an engagement party. He, too, had been engaged once, but his fiancée, Abigail, ran off on him with another man. He had to push these memories away as he walked into the lobby to grab the elevator up to the floor of the party. He wasn't much of a social man. In fact, after his long relationship ended, he receded into his own world and became a bit of a recluse. This party was one of the only times he decided to be social for quite some time. As he approached the apartment door, he could hear sounds as other partygoers were laughing and talking from inside. He took a deep breath, hoping to ease his anxiety and the pressure he felt to be social. As much as he didn't want to be there, he also didn't want to let one of his oldest friends down. He knocked, and didn't have to wait long before his old friend opened the door. "Joe, I'm so glad you came," Stan said with such genuine excitement. "It's not every day I get to celebrate the engagement of a close friend," Joe replied. "Come in, come in. Let me get you something to drink," Stan said. "Oh no, I don't drink much these days." Stan cut him off. "Nonsense. It's a celebration. Besides, we mixed something special just for tonight. It was hard coming up with a name for it, but every time we tested it out, we kept reminiscing about old times, so we landed on nostalgia. Here, you have to at least try it." Stan ladled the mix into a cup and handed it to Joe. Joe made an inaudible sigh as he took the cup. "Cheers." "To old times," Stan said. The drink was strong, a bit like an old-fashioned, but with a twist. Joe liked the taste of nostalgia. After mingling around for a bit and another cup or two of the drink, Joe was starting to get antsy for a cigarette. He wasn't much of a smoker, but he got the craving when he drank. He approached a group of people looking to bum one, and he was in luck. He even got a book of matches out of the deal. "There's nowhere to smoke that up here," one of them warned. "You'll have to go to the lobby again." Joe shrugged and headed for the door. He paused for a second, remembering there was roof access in this building. He made his way to the elevator. It was only a minute before the next one came. Joe reached for the buttons for the upper floors, but they weren't there. Joe sighed and walked toward the stairs, determined to get to the roof. After years of renovations that were never completed, the top floors remained vacant and inaccessible by elevator. Roof access required a walk through the stairwells of the vacant floors. A string of half-lit work lights were the only thing illuminating the pathway. Joe was a little scared, but was rewarded with a nice breeze and dazzling view when he finally made it to the roof. He leaned into an alcove to light his cigarette and walked toward the ledge. It was breathtaking. He was so transfixed on the view that he hadn't noticed the couple that was on the opposite side of the roof. It sounded like they were fighting now. The man became more and more animated as the intensity of the fight grew. The woman was apologizing and trying so hard to ease the tensions between them. Joe watched as the man started walking closer to the ledge, while the woman was still in front of him, facing the man. It didn't look like this was going to end well, so Joe started walking towards the couple. He shouted, "Hey, don't get too close to that ledge!" The couple didn't seem to hear him. He tried one more time, this time only 20 feet or so away from them. "Be careful over there!" In one motion, the man grabbed the woman's shoulders and pushed her over the side of the building. Joe ran over to the man and went to shove him in the back, but his hand went right through him. Joe stumbled and panicked as he fell right onto the ledge. Looking down over the city, he couldn't catch his breath. What just happened? Before he could try to bring himself together, he felt a tap on his back. Confused and irritated, he flipped around to see the same woman again. Her dress and hair were exactly the same, but this time he could make out her face. It was Abigail. He tried to get out words, but no sound left his lips. Abigail didn't seem to notice. Her face was calm. "I've been waiting 10 years for you to come back. And to think, you told everyone you didn't get here in time to save me. No one will save you. No one cares about you. Remember? That's what you kept telling me that night." Joe was frozen. He couldn't move. Couldn't speak. Abigail was now holding his shoulders. He could feel her grip tight on him, digging into him. Her nostrils flared and her eyes widened as she pushed him off the ledge, just like he had done to her all those years ago.
Oh, it's a love story.
Yeah. Something like that. So,
I remember you telling me about this, but it pretty much went the way... I forgot how it ended. It pretty much went the way you said it was going to go back then. All those other details. It's probably better that we didn't co-write that story. I don't know. I feel like I would have messed it up. I like it the way it was.
Yeah,
it was good. It was perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. It was better than being co-written. But we can still co-write something else.
Oh,
there's plenty of ideas.
I felt a lot of ownership over this one. But yeah, I'm glad that we didn't. But I'm very open to that as a possibility in the future.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, it's kind of my first ghost story, I think.
Right. So what made you think of it, I guess, I'm trying to say? Was it just that building that your friends used to live in?
So we would go up to the roof because, you know, we were bored. It was a beautiful view from the roof. And the top few floors were being renovated. So we had to, like, go take the elevator up to a certain floor, get off, and then kind of wind our way around it. And it was real creepy. They did not want us to be on the roof. And you got there and it was beautiful. But getting there...
That sounded real sketchy.
It was definitely sketchy. So basically the floors in the story are off limits and the renovation stopped because she was haunting the floors.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't think of that part, but that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could have elaborated, but I alluded to it. What do they call
it?
Yeah,
no, it's fine.
Well, aren't ghosts of women who were wronged called something in particular, like a white woman or...
Oh, that's a good question.
Right? So this is basically a story of that, and he witnessed himself pushing her off the ledge.
I feel like there is a name for that, and I'm going to look it up.
Right?
And then we're going to add it in.
But was it clear that he was watching himself do it to her? Because that's...
It was, yes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I like the little bit of nostalgia. I thought that was clever. Maybe I'm tooting my own horn a little bit there.
I like the drink.
Thank you.
For some reason, when you mentioned it, I thought it made me think of absinthe. For some reason. In my mind, that's the drink that I imagine.
Hey, I mean...
Like, we don't know what to call it. It's just a mix of a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, absinthe. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But I've never had absinthe. I just know it's green and it's... kind of weird, and that's
you
it.
You would love it. It's licorice-y.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I would...
Black licorice, yeah.
Yeah, I hate it.
I'm all about it.
Yes. So I guess the ghost we're trying to figure out is called a white lady, and it's a type of female ghost dressed in all white, reportedly seen in rural...
I hate that word.
Reportedly seen in rural areas and associated... Blah, 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 merger. Dressed in all white, reportedly seen in rural areas and associated with some local legend of tragedy. So, I wouldn't not say that she was a white lady. I feel like maybe there's a different type of...
So it's a mix of that, because I feel like it's a mix of that and also just a vengeful ghost or a vengeful spirit, which is said to be the spirit of a dead person who returns from the afterlife to seek revenge for a cruel, unnatural, or unjust death.
Yeah.
So that's exactly like those two things together.
Yes. Yes. So,
she's a vengeful white lady. Got it. That's probably doesn't sound right, but...
His name is Joe, and then the other character's name is Stan. He could probably be white.
I mean, her name's Abigail, probably, but I don't want to stereotype. But white lady isn't referring to race, so it's just...
Yes. The ghost is
so let's be real.
It's that called, type of ghost is just called a white lady.
Because it's a lady wearing white.
Yes. But...
Great story.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. All right. So that was... What was the name? Art Deco.
Art Deco.
I like the name.
Thank you.
Oh, that's going to be fun to find stuff for. Oh, yeah,
I told you that it'll be... It's...
Yeah. Also, easy to do sound effects. I get to do a falling off a roof, crash into the ground sound effect.
Yeah.
For the audio drama version.
Audio drama. She doesn't scream on her way down because it's the ghostly apparition of it. But he might. Whatever you want to do with that. I don't know how else to end it except for our outro.
I feel like, nah, he wouldn't scream because he knows what he did.
He did it. Yeah, he did it.
But he's definitely going to hit, like, a dumpster or a car. Like, he has hit something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he stopped drinking because the memories were crowding him. And his friend, I think his friend kind of knew.
Or like, did he stop drinking because he did it while he was drunk?
Maybe. I didn't think it through that much, but yeah.
Because that's... All right, so when you read the story, that's what I thought. He stopped drinking because he did this horrible thing while drinking.
Ooh.
And he doesn't want to remember it or kind of get into that headspace again or that feeling again. It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and you get food poisoning. You don't go back there again.
You mean he blacked out? But he
not even that he blacked out, because he remembers doing it.
Does he?
Or maybe I think not. Oh, maybe he did black out, but then he decided to stop drinking because he blacked out.
And I named the drink Nostalgia because I wanted him to have those memories after drinking that. It's like an elixir to have this memory.
Yeah, and that was a great detail.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I was really proud of it, ridiculously proud of that one.
We should make that drink.
Okay.
It's going to taste like jungle juice.
Oh, no, did
That'll take me back. Get some fruit punch.
I did do that line. Oh, my God, yeah. Well, jungle juice?
Jungle juice.
Jungle juice punch.
Oh, did people have different... All right, we were kids, so we all probably had slightly different variations of what jungle juice is.
I think jungle juice is everything. I don't think there's ingredients.
Right, it was basically everything, but ours, it was usually red, because fruit punch was like a nice, sweet... It made everything sweet and candy-like.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like grape juice from concentrate sweetened with fruit punch, and then anything else, you're just like, nah.
So fruit punch was the base for us. Yeah. And then just whatever. All right. So that was Art Deco.
Yeah.
So if you like this story, please check us out on Twitter at TinyMorbid or on Instagram and Reddit at TinyMorbidFantasies.
To be featured in upcoming episodes, send your stories to tinymorbidfantasies@gmail.com.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send those too.